So meals. We expect to get our 3 meals a day. We strive to provide 2 of them for school children who might not otherwise get them. Businesses right now are providing free meals to the people that are affected by the shutdown and can't pay for their groceries right now. Shelters and disaster relief organizations see serving meals, having food for people as an integral part of their mission. And whenever we have celebrations, what do we have? Food, meals! Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners, wedding receptions and funeral lunches, birthday parties and church dedications. In most cultures, it seems like the default tradition is that the women will be in charge of the meals, whether they're the everyday ones or the celebration ones. And the concern for any meal planners, male or female, is first and foremost quantity. We must have enough so that no one goes hungry or is unsatisfied. And so we usually plan an abundance of goodies just in case. And that planning is to alleviate our anxiety, hopefully, and usually doesn't work. We still wonder, what if? What if? And so it's always been. That wedding fiasco at Cana could happen to all of us anytime, or so we think. We hear that Jesus and his family and friends have been invited to a wedding party. And Jesus' mother hears that they've run out of wine. And this is a major disaster, a huge lapse in hospitality that's going to bring endless shame on the family. People always say, oh, remember their wedding? That's the one where they ran out of the wine. Mm-hmm, So Mary takes responsibility for using her resources, namely her faith in Jesus, to alleviate this problem. Today, the church celebrates some other Christian biblical women who use their resources to solve problems of scarcity. There's the rich CEO, Lydia, who provided the church with a meeting house and provided clergy housing for Paul and his associates. There's the professional woman, Phoebe, who provided the church with leadership, preaching and teaching and travel expenses. There's the congregational worker bee, Dorcas, responding to the needs of those in her community for clothes and food. All of them shared out of their gifts and resources, great or small, without worrying that, ooh, they might not have enough for themselves if there's a what if. And that ability, that gift of being able to let go and trust God, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul said in our Bible reading, the gift of the Holy Spirit is manifest in different ways so that we have individual specific gifts to share with the community. And depending on your gifts, you can find yourself being a Lydia or a Phoebe or a Dorcas or a combination of all of them at different ones at different times. Sometimes you're a spiritual leader, sometimes a worship leader, sometimes caring for property and providing monetary support, sometimes serving cookies or coffee, or helping with our charities, providing clothes or making sandwiches or bringing food for the food pantry. The gospel writer John especially invites us to look for ourselves in biblical stories and characters. He talks about miracles and teachings of Jesus as signs. Signs, things that point us to see the characteristics of God or of God's kingdom. things that are visible in the story, but only if you look for them through eyes of faith. John calls this miracle at Cana the first of Jesus' signs, and calling it a sign, he's inviting us to look beyond this magic trick aspect to what it tells us about God. He also intentionally invites us to identify with the characters in the story by the device. Throughout his gospel, he never names Mary. He just calls her the mother of Jesus. And John is always referred to as the beloved disciple. That way, without specific names, he's inviting you to identify with the people around Jesus. So this morning, I invite you to find yourself in this story. You might be at a lovely party in your world, whatever kind of form that takes, perhaps a happy time with other people. Okay, you're having a good time, things are going well, and you notice a problem. And you ask Jesus to help. And instead of nagging him when it seems like he's not responding, you trust that he'll take care of it somehow. And then you go back to the party as a non-anxious participant because you trust that it's all in good hands. Identifying with Mary in this story invites you to hand the problem over to Jesus. Now, that's not easy when it's a political situation that seems headed toward disaster. It's not easy if it's a loved one's medical condition. So Mary sets us this example of handing the problem over to Jesus. But wait, he doesn't seem to want it. And actually he doesn't do anything about it himself. He tells the servants what to do, and he tells them to tell the steward, who does his job, and all that accomplishes the answer to his mother's prayer. In fact, when I have some situations where people expect some action or solution from me, you know what? Maybe I think I'll follow Jesus' example and say, my hour has not yet come. I'd rather stay below the radar on this one. Jesus isn't ready to go public, but he validates Mary's trust in him. He may not want to draw attention to himself, but Jesus does use his gifts and the gifts of others to solve the problem. And so too your gifts. Maybe it's not your hour to be the leader and attract all the attention in proposing the solution. But your gifts may be useful in fleshing out the ideas and providing the labor so that a vision is realized. God's given you the gifts to be instrumental in answering prayers and doing miracles. Good news indeed. But John's gospel story invites us to more. And the more in this case is that there's more wine than any party could possibly drink. Did you do the math in that story? Jesus is revealing the abundance of God's grace for us, more than we could ever need. No matter how great or grave our sins or our lack of faith. And then John invites us to another aha. He tells us that this appearance of this superabundance of God's grace happens on the third day. The third day. What's significant about the third day? The prophecy that the Messiah would rise from the dead on the third day. salvation, God's grace, all of that coming on the third day. The eyes of faith see and believe. And the real miracle, the magic of this story, is that God provides so much grace, so many gifts, so many gifted people that we can share without worry that we'll run out or won't have enough or that Jesus can't be trusted. Trusted to come through for us in ways and through people that will amaze us so much that we're not even aware that it's Jesus behind the whole thing. But when we see with eyes of faith, when we are aware, when we see him behind it all, that's when we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.